Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Well, folks, welcome to the very first, the inaugural question and answer from the two Matts.
World Historic Podcast.
You ask questions and we answer them.
Sending a seismic bolt of energy into your Sunday.
Yes. If you listen to this on Sunday, happy Sunday. If you're listening to this on another day, happy whatever
day
it is.
Enjoy that day, yeah.
But let's steam straight in. The format is very, very unusual for a question and answer. What we're going to do is read out questions and then we're going to answer them and then we'll go on to the next question.
Innovation in action.
Should we go straight to the first question?
Let's just do it.
Okay, first question is from where else but Islington. Thank you, Clarissa. And your question is Keir Starmer doing enough to win the general election?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
I think so. But he's doing enough to get to number 10.
Yes.
The question is he doing enough to stay there and do things that will be of consequence and important? Because it's such a safety first campaign. And he did very well at the Labour conference in reassuring people. Good narrative. Can't complain about any of that. But he is going to inherit the mother of all entrees if he becomes prime minister.
So do you think is it absolutely nailed on? That obviously the polls are wildly in his favour, but we know in our political system that you can be 20 points ahead but not get the seats to get you a majority.
Look, you and I, we bear the scars of thinking that Remain was going to smash it in 2016, and it absolutely didn't. So never say never.
What would be better for Britain? A clear Labour majority, a narrow Labour majority, or a hung parliament?
A clear Labour majority. I think that what the country needs a change. And the worst possible change it could get would be a kind of incomplete one.
Yeah.
Because actually, one of the things about coalition government, the coalition 2010, 2015 was all right in the sense that the Tories moderated by the Lib Dems as they then were was better, as it turned out, than a Tory-only government after 2015, which called the Brexit election referendum. There's no real obvious partner for Starmer. I don't think Ed Davey, head of the Lib Dems, or the SNP.
I love, by the way, how this is the problem. You still have to explain who he is.
Yes, Ed Davey, folks. He's the leader of the Liberal Democrats.
The Liberal Democrats are a political party. They've been around for quite a while.
They have a nice yellow colour scheme. It's very charming. But I don't think that's going to work. And I definitely don't think that a Labour SNP coalition would last a day.
No.
So I think that Labour needs a good, healthy majority and the space to think about how it is going to address even some of the huge questions hurtling down the road towards it.
Interesting though, Clarissa's from Islington, and one sort of microcosm question is Keir Starmer doing enough to win in Islington? Because of course the standing MP is now an independent, guy called Jeremy Corbyn.
Yes.
Now, Labour will hold Islington, won't they?
I think so, but Corbyn is very popular.
He is.
And the narrative that Corbyn depends upon, which is that it was all brilliant when he was leader and it's all gone horribly south since Keir Starmer took over and got a 20-point lead in the polls, has alarming traction.
Yes, it does. Well, also, the thing about Corbyn is this, and I say this not through gritted teeth, I'm just saying the truth, is that he's I think he's a very diligent and good constituency MP.
I gather.
You know, he does the rounds, he speaks to people, he is, you know, he knows that, obviously he's lived in the borough for God knows how long, and he loves the borough. So it's quite possible that he's got, you know, a substantial constituency of people who would turn out and vote for him. But I do suspect that the knee-jerk, I'm a Labour voter, will carry the day at the end.
I hope so, because he's a nice constituency MP, is sort of a bit like Lenin had nice shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care.
Did he?
In the end. No, but I mean, I'm just... Well, he might have, but...
No, but honestly, okay, all right. Well, we'll come to this another day. But the difference between being a good MP and being a good politician, maybe there's a difference there. I don't know.
Yes, and you know, he nearly destroyed the Labour Party. I mean, he took it to Jeremy Corbyn personally delivered Boris Johnson dash Boris Johnson.
Can you imagine, by the way, what he'd be like now in with this bloody crisis going on in the Middle East?
It's beyond.
I mean, that is worth. Well, it's not worth thinking about, is it? He would be awful.
He would be. Well, he is being awful.
Yeah. But as Prime Minister.
As Prime Minister, it doesn't matter thinking about it. Okay, that's...
Thank you, Clarissa. Yes. You have the gold star for being the very first question on the two Matts Q&A.
Something to boast about.
Yeah.
So, question number two comes from Louise Burton. Is lack of long-term investment in UK infrastructure such as the NHS or train travel going to become a problem for growth and stability in the UK? Has Treasury brain... Good phrase. Affected long-term planning in the country. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, it definitely has, hasn't it? I mean, we had 3 or 4 years of, I don't so much think it was Treasury brain as sort of Brexit brain.
Yeah.
That meant nothing got done. Mm-hmm. And then we had COVID. So you've had kind of periods of years where the basic kind of day-to-day management of a country, infrastructure, health, education, the armed forces, all of this, it's all played second fiddle to other major issues that have consumed the political narrative.
Yes.
And I think it's been compounded by having somebody like Rishi Sunak at the Treasury and now Prime Minister, who is a tight arse, isn't he, in common parlance?
You know, we've said it before, but he is a 1980s politician dressed up as a tech bro, Instagram loving modernizer. It's no accident that he had Nigel Lawson's picture behind his desk in the Treasury.
Is Treasury brain I've never heard Louise's phrase Treasury brain.
Well, there are variants on it. You know, the Treasury mentality, Treasury brain.
Right,
in a sense, it is true that there is a Treasury orthodoxy, and it obviously veers towards let's not spend anything. But as you say, Matt, I don't think it's just Treasury officials that are, you know, to blame for this.
Mm.
I think that they've had willing collaborators in, first of all, Theresa May, who didn't know what to do about anything because she was just trying to get Brexit done.
Mm.
Then we had Boris Johnson, who wanted to spend lots of money, but, you know, is barely numerate.
Yeah.
Liz Truss, who was crazy economically. And now Rishi Sunak, who is, as you say, just not into spending money. And that was the primary driver of getting rid of the Northern Spur of HS2, which he's very proud of.
Yeah.
But it does leave massive questions for Northern infrastructure and the increasingly hilariously entitled Northern Powerhouse.
Well, I'll give you an example of what, I mean, obviously, I think Brexit has made pretty much everything in this country worse. But in particular, when you see the renaissance of a city like Liverpool, where I'm from, which was being run into the ground by a Tory government under Thatcher. And frankly, you know, would have been ignored and shut down. Managed decline, they called it. Jeffrey Howe wrote a memo to just saying, let's just manage decline, just run it into the ground.
Which is what Liz Truss believed as well.
But then the European Union, exactly right. European Union declared it a zone one priority for investment, which ranked it amongst the poorest areas of Europe, and ploughed billions into infrastructure in the airport, the dock, the pierhead, the roads into Liverpool were all invested in heavily. And everywhere you go around Liverpool, there are these plaques with, you know, paid for by the European Union. No wonder Liverpool voted for Remain, folks, because it was visible. But when areas of deprivation are left... And there are many areas of deprivation in the UK. I saw a good film the other day produced by Byline Times and the European Movement about the effects of Brexit 7 years later, and they were up in the northeast. And honestly, there were places there that reminded me of Liverpool back in the late 70s, early 80s, where people were just run down. When your only friend is a Westminster that basically doesn't give a shit about you because you don't carry any votes that they care about, you're in trouble. You know, if you haven't got the European Union coming in and saying, don't worry, we'll help you because you are, you qualify as part of our supranational objectives, then you get a lift like Liverpool did and you become the European capital of culture, which gives them a huge tourism lift. So you lose a lot of these things that a bigger picture provides. So I'm not sure it's just UK infrastructure.
No, I mean, I think you know, the EU in a way was the best guarantor of what's become called levelling up.
Exactly right.
And it's gone.
I'm so glad you said that because I hadn't thought about it in those terms before, but that is precisely on the money. The EU was very good at levelling up.
That's what, you know, was one of its great, you know, forces for good.
What a shame. Okay.
What a shame.
Right.
Thanks,
next
Louise.
Question, please.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you think young people have a worse time than you did when you were in your 20s? Seems like it was a lot easier in your day, in our day. Anyway, would love to know your thoughts. Zoe, a student. Thank you, Zoe. Do young people have a worse time today?
Yes, definitely.
Do they?
I think they do on a number of fronts. I mean, first of all, their aspirations, and I don't just mean becoming an accountant, but just the basics of earning enough to get by, earning enough to put a bit of money away, maybe to buy a flat or something like that. These are much harder than they were, certainly when I was in my 20s or whatever. I get very annoyed with younger people being caricatured as snowflakes because I think actually they're more resilient than certainly I remember being at that time. They've suffered through COVID. There's no doubt that being digital natives is it just a different way of living.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard.
You can't switch the bloody stuff off.
Everything is geared to status. Everything is geared to likes. Your entire existence is. So, I do. And I really do not like the way that young people are kind of caricatured as somehow endlessly complaining and whining. They're not.
No, I would observe that. I think kids... We were having a chat earlier, and I think kids are more... Obviously, this is just like the anecdotal nonsense, but I think they are more together generally than maybe some of our contemporaries were in the past. But I do think that the oppressive nature of Instagram and Snap and all of this stuff, it must be exhausting to deal with. You know, you couldn't just switch off and watch TV and relax.
No, I mean, exactly that. And I think that there's never a respite from it. And yeah. Also, they're expected to work harder for less,
yeah,
to put it brutally.
The one upside, I would say, which is probably good, is that there's no expectation. When I was entering the workforce, the goal was to find a job that you basically stayed in for decades. And I don't think that exists anymore. I think the younger mentality is that you'll do something until it no longer suits you, and then you'll do something else. And I think that's probably a healthier way to go about your life, given that you only have one.
No, 100%. And it's going to be a longer life. The other thing, which is a downside, is I think, and this I did not see coming, but it is undoubtedly the case, is that class has returned. It never went away, but in the 90s, it seemed to me that there was some prospect that those ceilings and it might be broken a bit.
Mm.
In the 2020s, I see class as more of a trap than it was in the 90s.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yes, I do, because I think that it's all the levers you can pull to have a destiny that you want are harder to pull now than they were then.
I
hope it's a temporary aberration and that we continue to move, you know, the arc of history, as it were, continues to move in the right direction. But I do think that it does worry me that class is so little spoken of, relatively speaking, on the progressive side of the house.
Maybe we should return to this in a future podcast. It's a very interesting topic.
It's a big, a
next
huge
question.
Topic.
I'll have well, to
you,
read.
You have to read this one out.
This one starts, "Dear Dad, seeing as you spent your 20s and 30s elbow to elbow with the likes of Cameron Osborne Johnson and pretty much the whole ragtag gang of country fuckers, I was wondering if you could provide your listeners into a little behind the scenes insight on how these folks have changed since you knew them, if at all. Were they always destined to be country fuckers, or were they moulded by politics into what they eventually became? Love, Zach." Who's Zach?
I've no idea. I have a feeling he may well be my 22-year-old firstborn beloved son. Thank you, Junior. What can I say?
He has a nice turn of phrase.
I feel sort of horribly seen and horribly busted at the same time. Cameron Osborne Johnson, they're not all the same. And Johnson was, of the three, certainly the worst. And I never socialized with him very much at all. The answer to Zach's question, which I think is kind of a good one, is was there a sort of sense of destiny? Absolutely. You know, they did think that they had been, they were all members of the bloody Bullingdon Club.
Exactly.
Yeah. At Oxford. And there's no doubt that...
Are they all Etonians as well?
No. Osborne wasn't. And so his nickname at the Bullingdon Club, which gives you an idea of the sickness we're dealing with, was Oik.
For Christ's sake.
Because he'd only been to St. Paul.
Right?
Yes, because he'd only been to St. Paul's school. I didn't know anything about the Bullingdon Club when I was at that university. And I did get to know them through journalism afterwards. And there's absolutely no doubt that from a very early age, they were convinced of what would actually, you know, it would go on to happen to them. And that was a strange thing to look at, which was, I just thought, no one who is this confident that they're going to reach the top does, right?
Yeah.
And how wrong I was, because I just saw them bashing through speed bump through a crash barrier after crash barrier after crash barrier. And I think that whole period, there's a great book called Chums by Simon Cooper about how everything that's gone wrong in this country can be traced back to the period of time when I was at Oxford and they were too. He's got a very good point.
Eton should be put into special measures as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And it's
so much to answer for.
You know, it's got this new provost, Nick Coleridge, who's a very nice guy, but he did a thing in, I think it was the Times the other day, saying that he thinks better of Etonians.
Wasn't that, there was some sort of context around it though, wasn't it? That kind of mitigated his outrageous arrogance,
but I did think,
yeah,
you know, Nick, you know, you've done such a good job at the Victorian Albert Museum. This is not a great way to start your leadership of Eton. I mean, I think again, it's a question we should return to, but the kind of advantage you get in terms of confidence at these places is...
It's a lifelong asset,
unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's not about scholarship or, you know, that kind of stuff, passing exams. That's taken as read.
Yeah.
What it gives them is the sense that they're, you know, becoming chosen, prime minister is
chosen ones,
is normal. Yeah. It's not like I'd like to be a journalist or I'd like to do this or like it's I want to be prime minister.
Didn't get much of that at Hugh Baird College in Bootle, I can promise you.
Yet.
But come the revolution.
Times are
changing. The revolution. One more question.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. Nice question. Nice phrase. You ask it.
Well, who would you like to play you in the movie of The Two Mats? Sanjay of Stoke Newington. Thank you, Sanjay. Good question.
Well,
over to you, Mr. Kelly.
Now, so I hope people know that I'm not naturally immodest, right? But it has been said now and again that I bear a passing resemblance, and there is a sort of, there's an existential problem in this answer, but I do bear a passing resemblance to Sean Connery.
Ah, sure.
Sure. I would like Sean
here,
to
the
play
new European, we have a very interesting column.
You bring a newspaper to a gunfight.
The name's Kelly, Matt Kelly.
So Sean Connery or Pep Guardiola is the other one I often go.
That's a very good one.
But Pep doesn't act, so I'll have to go with the resurrected corpse of Sean Connery.
Well, I think that's not a bad one. And obviously I would go in the spirit of the nominative determinism and the name of the podcast. I'd go with either Matthew McConaughey or Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Matt Damon in Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I kind of identified with him marching around in, you know, a
slight sort of powerful bemusement.
Yeah, you know, with a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I think Damon would do you justice.
Matt Damon. So I'm, you know, if you're out there.
Have Connery and Damon ever been in a film together?
I don't think so, because I think that Connery had stopped me.
Stopped his act.
By the time that those young lads, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, got going.
Yeah, maybe we should do a whole episode of this podcast as Sean Connery's. The Two Seans.
As The Two Seans.
Certainly. Write in and tell us if you'd like that, listeners. So, folks, anyway, that was very entertaining for us, at least. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy the rest of the weekend if you're listening on a Sunday. We will be back next Thursday with our regular podcast. Next Friday, excuse me. Yeah, we record Thursday. We broadcast Friday. And we'd love to do another one of these. So send in your questions, as important or irrelevant as you like, as you can tell, to the Two Mats. That's the number two, MATTS. The Two Mats at TNEPublishing.com. TNEPublishing.com. That's the New European Publishing Company. And don't forget, you can subscribe to the New European and get a free copy of James O'Brien's brilliant new book, How They Broke Britain. And boy, they did break Britain. You can get that for absolutely free when you subscribe. Just go to theneweuropean.co.uk/2Mats. Number two, MATTS. So until next week.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.